We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bebich and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Right now, time to get to the BetQL guest line. Talk to our friend Mr. Brendan Porath, co-host of the Shotgun Start podcast, part of the Fried Egg blog podcast network. You've seen his stuff, SB Nation, Golf Channel, all over the place. Brendan, what's up, dude? Busy 24 hours for you?
JT, crazy. Busy is an understatement. Just no one saw this coming. I think that's added to the sort of chaotic nature of this, and you've heard it now over and over again, is like everyone blindsided by it. You get these big stories that you kind of can't anticipate, or you hear a rumor, or you get some heads up about. But this would be like the Dan Snyder sale. There's zero forewarning of it, and all of a sudden you wake up on a Tuesday morning, and by 10 a.m., the Commanders have been sold with zero warning or drawn out process. It was crazy.
But I think we'll be jumping for joy on that one, though. But the question I ask, everyone is looking at, like, all the guys that went to live were right. The question I ask, and I heard people talk about this last night on TV, they may not get all that money that we heard about since this thing is coming together now.
Yes. It seems like they jumped the gun yesterday. Someone was going to leak this. So the details are scant. The how this will actually play out seems like months in the making. I do think so. The PIF, the Saudi PIF, is about to pump billions of dollars into this now, quote unquote, more approved entity for the Gulf ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Some of that money is going to have to be redirected to these players who passed up those, you know, upfront offers, decided to stay loyal to the PGA Tour. Mm-hmm. And some of those players who took it, I think there's going to be a leveling out, or there's going, fines would probably be too harsh a term for it, but they may not get all their money. They are not going to be easily reassimilated into the PGA Tour, some of them who were particularly contentious and confrontational. It's going to take a while. I suspect Phil Mickelson, it's going to be a bit, if he ever comes back to the PGA Tour. Mm-hmm. This isn't necessarily that he's back next week. So I do think some of that upfront cash, this was a deal with the PIF, would not LIV at all. So, but PIF controls those LIV contracts, you know, above it with all the cash. But it does seem like there's going to be not a make good, but a more leveling out of the money and equities from that upfront cash.
Yeah, I mean, the way I look at it is the Saudis clearly want this to work. This is important to them. They've probably already burned billions of dollars and are willing to invest now more of it. There's no way they're going to have Rory and Tiger and Spieth and the guys that Scheffler, the guys that stuck around with the big name values, they're not going to have those guys pissed off at them. Am I being perhaps too naive, or they'll make something work and maybe it'll be a different kind of payment structure? But Tiger's going to get his. Rory's going to get his.
Yeah, absolutely. And to be honest with you, like, the labor here, the players have the power still. They're not under contract with this new entity. They're not under contract with the PGA Tour. This is sort of an extreme scenario, but they still have the power to band together. Rory, Spieth, Scheffler, Tiger say, no, we don't want this entity either. We're going to start our own new league. They could, in theory, do that. They're not going to, but they do still have the power to get theirs, as you say, demand a little bit of this cut, demand more say and more cash from this pie. They will. The PIF and this new entity with the PGA Tour are going to have to chip off those guys a good chunk of change to keep them happy, to understand their value. Because, look, the PGA Tour railed against this because it was rewarding players more for their brand name and their value as marketers, endorsers, as people who put butts in the seat. And a lot of that's based on performance, but some of it may not be based on current performance. And part of this new entity is going to be giving some of those guys, whether Tiger hasn't played or, say, Spieth is in a slump but still brings out the people and brings marketers and sponsors, they're going to be getting rewarded handsomely for their brand appeal, not just on-course performance.
I ask you this question. The guy who was in the middle of all this, Greg Norman, does he make it through the end?
No. There's a lot of details that seem to be up in the air. Everybody's racing to proclaim winners and losers, and I think everybody kind of won and everybody lost a little bit. That's the nature of a compromise. The Saudis for sure won. They're at the table now in an official way. But a loser in this is Greg Norman. He's not. He's gone. I think Bob Harrigan reported that. Who's that kind of a good line to the LIV operation. Greg Norman's not expected to stay on LIV. What LIV is likely done. It's going away. It may finish 2023, but as Rory was adamant about this morning, this was a deal with the Saudi PIF. This is not a merger with LIV Golf. LIV Golf is likely going away. Parts and pieces of it may stick around in this new entity. Players may come back in some form or fashion. But LIV Golf is going away, and likely Greg Norman with it.
Wow.
We're talking with our friend Brendan Porath from the Fried Egg Shotgun Start. You can give him a follow at Brendan Porath, P-O-R-A-T-H, on Twitter and Instagram. I hadn't heard Rory's comments this morning. He was – I think you wrote – I read your the Fried Egg email this morning. I think you wrote that he was a meat shield for Jay Monahan throughout a lot of this. And I really think it kind of – wore him out, man. I mean, all of last year, Rory was the face of, you know, F the LIV, I'm staying on the PGA Tour. Now, I mean, how pissed is he? How does he reconcile all this?
I mean, it has been a bunch of BS, for sure, for Rory. Like, he's a professional golfer. His job is to go out, play golf, make a bunch of money doing so, compete, win majors, and he's become this sort of de facto leader of the PGA Tour, a meat shield. Probably a more eloquent term, which Rory used this morning. He said himself, I feel like sort of a sacrificial lamb in all this that's gone on. He felt right. He stood up on principle. He thought the PGA Tour, and it wasn't necessarily all the moral arguments about Saudi money, though he has made those, but he felt like the PGA Tour was being attacked in an unfair way. And he thought this was the PGA Tour was the best path forward for professional golf and the players coming after him. And he stood and took all the arrows for Jay Monahan, who I would say is not particularly strong at media, not particularly strong at explaining things. Rory, I thought, explained the deal better than Jay did, even just yesterday. So Rory's up there. He's playing events, you know, every other week, and he's the one doing press conferences and sort of having to answer for all the tour's moves or getting popped and getting a player taken from them. The war of words, Rory was at the front of that, and he called himself a sacrificial lamb. He has to be a little frustrated. He's lost. He didn't lose 2 years of his career, but it had an unseen impact on him and certainly wore on him mentally, having to be sort of the face of this battle for the PGA Tour.
It's just crazy. So, I mean, how much do you buy? So I heard, and I can't, maybe Landfill or Jeff, you can track it down with Valdez, but it was very noticeable to me. I mean, LIV Golf, the last tournament was right here at Trump. And
yeah.
They seem to keep a pretty low profile. I know the Junks did a show out there, but somebody told me that they were making a concerted effort to be less confrontational, less controversial.
Because they've been talking over the last 7 weeks.
Right. And that Greg Norman specifically was kind of being phased out of talking to the media.
Yeah.
I think that makes a lot of sense now. Like, looking back, obviously this thing surprised the world. But looking back, how many signs do you think there were? Do you think Rory's kind of weird behavior over the last couple months, even like he had an idea? Where do you think, looking back now, you can see some of these pieces?
I think, you know, I think there are a lot of people trying to connect the dots and trying to see, oh, we saw it there, we saw it here. I think Jay Monahan said it started 7 weeks ago. That was when Rory had sort of a weird WD from RBC Heritage, that he was going through some stuff, had just missed the cut at the Masters. And people are trying to connect that. He must have learned that they were talking. I don't think that's true necessarily. I think the live approach in D.C., that's just been a general sort of effort to be less confrontational. When they're confrontational, tend to put them under the microscope a little bit more and get them.
Well, the players must hate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And Phil started talking a lot more on Twitter and things like that. But when there was a dust up in Australia, one of their spokesmen for Liv, like, we are making an effort to not be confrontational in our press conferences or not talk, you know, noise about the PGA Tour or players. So I think that's just been an effort. I think some parties were aware that lines of communication had been open, but I do not think there were many signs that this was happening at this pace and at this time. There were lines of communication. There's always been rumors that, like, Liv is just burning through money and players are unhappy there and it's not sustainable. Saudis just want a seat at the larger table. So there was rumors, and it wouldn't have shocked you if Liv made some bold change or scaled down. But I don't think anyone really saw this coming. There were lines of communication, but no one saw it happening on this timeline, aside from Jay Monahan, his two executive deputies, and the Saudis.
Yeah, I believe that. Like, most of the players yesterday said they never heard anything about it, and they were upset. Yeah. But I think like you said, Jay Monahan did not explain it good at all.
No.
And if what you're saying is more of a PIF and PGA thing, and I guess that's what they really put. And I think the TVs kept putting in parentheses Liv, okay? Liv has nothing without PIF.
Right.
So, yeah, Liv doesn't exist without PIF.
I think that's the ultimate thing, and I think that's where Rory is going. Like, if it's something with another entity and we're trying to work this thing out, and he's probably thinking to himself, if Greg Norman is gone, I'm good with it.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's – look, the Saudis wanted a seat at the table. They have more than a seat. You know, there's some – you know, within the press release, there was this note that the Public Investment Fund is the exclusive investor in this new entity, and it has a right of first refusal for new investment. So they are controlling the purse strings, even if they don't have majority board control of this new entity. The Saudis just wanted that seat at the table, and they burned a couple $1 billion via Liv, which then became this lawsuit antagonist for the PGA Tour, bleeding them with these legal bills. And that kind of pushed their hand into this quote-unquote merger. The Saudis, like, Liv is just a piece of this. It was a good way in. They do, I think, care about team golf. There's going to be some aspect of team golf going forward. But Liv was a means, a couple $1 billion worth of means, to get to that table, get in that, that litigation that really forced the PGA Tour's hand from a cost perspective, and now they're there. But Liv is just kind of a very incidental piece to this, an expensive one that's probably going away. And, you know, that's something, if you're like a big Liv enthusiast, are you happy?
Do those exist?
I don't know that you are. Excuse me?
Do big Liv enthusiasts exist? I mean, nobody watches the product.
They do on Twitter. At least they're popping me all day on Twitter. I mean, there are some that are really into it. But, like, Phil. Say Phil. Like, you know, the tour is back. Jay Monahan's kind of his boss again, or kind of running the tour. The entity that he would have to play for. So where are you at with that? You got paid well. But again, Liv is sort of going away.
Well, everybody played this role of being the merit police. Will any of this affect a lot of the other sponsors that they had, since now the Saudis are in charge and, like you said, exclusive investor or sponsor, whatever?
I think there might be some grumbling, but the way that the PGA Tour has sort of reformatted itself in the last year to try to keep up with the money that the Saudis were offering and Liv, and these $20 million purses for, like, not majors, but, you know, significant events. Were they just going to keep going to these title sponsors? You got to get more. We need more. We need more to keep up. So I think there's probably some grumbling, but overall, there might be a sense of relief that they don't have to keep opening up their bank accounts to try to jack these purses to the roof to keep up with whatever this competitive Saudi league is. Mm-hmm. And Yeah, I and another part of this is the PGA Tour, as we know it, is kind of staying as it is. The nonprofit part of this is going to be is still intact. The PGA Tour is going to still administer and run all the events that they've always run as a nonprofit, and this new entity is sort of off to the side, pumping a bunch of cash into the game and to players and to new teams. So the tour still exists. Those sponsors for their events are still going to kind of keep their status quo and just might not have to fork over as much cash because there's not this competitor, you know, extending the purses.
One thing I find fascinating is why, because the Saudis are trying to buy all the best soccer players. I wonder if down the line the Saudis see the switch to electric cars and are trying to, like, diversify their incredible wealth. That's we're going to ask Ben White, our guy, our economist, that at noon. But, Brendan, I'm curious, like, maybe not a year from now because there's going to be a lot of probably, you know, tense moments as, like, a dude like Koepka or – you know, when Lee Westwood comes back, nobody's going to care, I think. But, like, when DeChambeau comes back, Phil, if he comes back,
Pat
there's going to be...
Is he done?
Yeah. Perez has talked a lot of S.
Talked a lot of trash. Couldn't win no damn tournament, but he was still winning money.
Yeah,
like, what happens guys, with that?
It's interesting. I think there's going to be some pain. They're not going to make it easy. There's going to be some sort of review board, for reintegrating these guys back to the tour. People like DJ and Brooks, who sort of kept their head down, not talked a lot of junk, will probably get in a little easier. Those who've been confrontational, those who've been sort of popping off, will not. It's going to be a really interesting, messy process. But yes, like you said, this is a way for, you know, Saudi's oil dependence, you know, you got your economists coming, but this is part of the plan. Their vision 2030, they need to invest in other businesses and make themselves attractive in other ways. And part of that is sort of having a seat at the table of larger sports leagues and having sports stars on their side and getting beyond just the billions of oil dependence.
Do so they stop at the PGA
way,
Tour?
No. No. I mean, the NBA in the last year permitted for Saudi investment in its teams. There's a world where, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs are taking on Saudi money. I think that's what they're, you know, there's all sorts of hypotheticals out there with NIL now and Saudi billions, endless amounts of money, pouring money. Now, do they see the ROI or value in that? With golf especially, it provides them a seat at sort of this hoity-toity table, right? The CEO of FedEx and the CEO of KPMG and all, they're like playing in that sandbox. Golf is sort of a means to also be a part of that community. I don't know if they get that sort of access or value from just buying a bunch of NIL or being the primary booster or owner of a college football program. But there's potential for that they're coming for a lot more American sports because the money is there.
Let me be clear, as a University of Maryland alum, if the Saudis want to come in and start throwing billions at the football program, I'm not going to be complaining about
Let
it.
Them.
So, yeah, I bet Locke's be cool
right.
with it, too.
right.
But, dude, all right, last one, Brendan. We're talking with our friend Brendan Porath from the Fried Egg Shotgun Start podcast. Make sure you listen to it. 3 years from now, and I'm a golf fan, consumer of the product, B watches, I watch, you watch, it's how you make a living. I kind of feel like a couple years from now, it's pretty much going to be status quo, except maybe there's a little more of an international flavor, which frankly, I won't mind. I love when the golf's on late at night and stuff. Sure. I think if we get to see Royal Melbourne more, I would love that. And I think, yeah, there'll probably be some funky team thing in Riyadh once a year. Like, is that how you see it, or do you think there's going to be dramatic change?
Yeah, so there's some cognitive dissonance here. Like, I think the product's going to improve dramatically from this. If you are okay with a foreign government, whether they're pristine or not, owning a piece like an American cultural institution, like a sports team or a sports league, if you're okay with that, and you're okay with their sort of some of the abuses that they commit, then it's sort of a balance, right? You have to be okay with it. And as Rory said, like, there's no hiding. The people with the most money are winning, and you just have to resign yourself to the fact. But what this is going to do from a product standpoint, it's only going to make things better. There's going to be some probably pretty cool, unique, different team things going on. Those guys, the biggest stars, are going to be making gobs of money. The PGA Tour, I think, is going to look pretty similar. I think it's going to get the best guys at the same place more often. The majors will stay the majors. There's a little question, like, can they keep up with the cash, right? Are they going to lose some of their luster if they can't keep up with the cash? Because obviously they run separate and apart from the PGA Tour. They're all their own tournaments.
Yeah, so I always wondered about that.
I think the majors will be totally fine, dude. I think that's the one legacy portion that matters. Like, you can have a $50 million purse for the John Deere. People are still going to Augusta.
I agree with you. Right now, I agree with you. Like those shields of like history and legacy and real competition, like that actually is the case at the majors. And I don't think the purse necessarily is the overriding thing. But if you have the Saudi entity plus the PGA Tour so far and away ahead of some of these majors, they will have a little bit more power over the governing bodies and telling them, hey, no, we're not accepting a rollback of the ball or things like that. But yes, I think down the line, the majors are still going to be the majors. They'll look as good as ever, quite honestly. Like, they'll look, this is the real competition, that they stand out far and away like from everything else that's going on. But also, outside of the majors, the product, I think, will probably be better. Everybody's back in the same umbrella, the same tent. It's kind of, like you said, a world tour, a global tour. You'll have unique events at different parts of the year. And probably the money to innovate and do some different kind of experiment with some more team formats and stuff like that. So I do think it will look good.
Will they have to change up the points?
They should. They should. I don't know if they will. Like the FedEx Cup points mean where there's like the race for the they should. They should, because like you're going to have like tours within a tour, right? There's going to be the guys who are getting these hundreds of million dollars of just upfront cash or money contracts kind of for being who they are, for being the stars that they are, for, you know, selling tickets and sponsors. An event that's like the John Deere, like JP just said, shouldn't be getting the same amount of points that one of those other events where the purse is, you know, 5X and all the top players are there. They should probably have to reassess the point system. And they should have done that anyway.
I agree. Like, the players should matter more than the travelers. It's pro golf with a small side of beheading. You just got to make your peace with it. Brendan, thank you for the time, brother. Really appreciate it. Hopefully we can still do our – I mean, the U.S. Open is going to be fascinating. Fascinating next week. I can't wait.
It's going to be awesome. I can't wait either. It's going to be so cool.
All right. We'll track you down from L.A. next week, man. Appreciate you making time for us. That's our guy, Brendan Porath, right here on Bemidji and Finley. When we return, we haven't really talked about it yet. I've been outside for 2 hours now. It is a code red smoke day in the nation's capital. It's smoky out here. Let's discuss Bemidji and Finley.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.